AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounder Scuttlebutt. I'm your co-host today, Cameron Collins, and I am here with the one and only Nicholas Biella. What is up, Nick? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you? I'm feeling pretty energized, pretty excitable.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, unlike you, I didn't have an exciting evening of attending kindergarten PTA meetings.
Well, not parent-teacher conferences. Yeah, parent-teacher conferences, slightly different, but same proof of concept. Things that I gotta realize are a thing. But we got a jam-packed mini episode. It may not be a 2-hour long episode, but we're gonna probably try and keep it under an hour, which means that it'll probably be around 20 minutes after the hour, knowing us. But before we do that, do you have anything in your hand?
I do. It's non-alcoholic, but I'm also getting weird notifications on my phone. That's weird. Oh, the worst nickname in sports for the best player in sports. Tell me about that.
Well, I am going to drink a Scuttlebutt Big Dumper beer, which is a golden ale? What is this? It's just a nice lager. Okay, a crushable lager. What about you?
Wow, that's a loud typing. Mm-hmm. Typingness there. I am drinking non-alcoholic right now. I am drinking Holiday Creamy Vanilla Coke Zero.
Like Holiday Creamy Vanilla? Is Santa Claus been kidnapped? Is he in your closet? What's happening here?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Holy shit. That was a dream.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It is a quality soda.
There you go.
Soda is very expensive now. I don't know why this has happened.
Sugar tax.
But even the non-sugar, these were $10 a 12-pack. Luckily, if you bought two, you got two free. But
it's true.
It's just wild what they're doing to us. I don't know. It's I want you to go real quick. And because I want to tell the audience here about my new sweatshirt I just bought. Go in the chat there and click it so you can bring it up and look at my new hockey, because we're going to have a first little scuttlebutt. It will be about hockey. So I got a black sweatshirt.
Yes, yes. I like it.
Yes. It says drop gloves, punch Nazis, double hockey sticks. And in the front, it has a sometimes violence is necessary. It says for hockey.
Cannot complain about that.
Yeah. So we got some news today.
A lot of news. A lot of news has dropped.
The new name for the women's hockey, professional hockey team in Seattle dropped, the Torrent, which I don't love.
Well, it's a tech city, you know. We gotta illegally stream.
I was hoping they'd name it the Napster. That Napster was more my
sound speed. SoundCloud, or what was the other one? There was
SoundCloud still.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah. But no, it was Napster, and then what was after that?
Wow, there was a few LimeWire.
LimeWire, there we go.
Kazaa,
that's right.
SoulSeek. actually, it's kind of grown on me over time because, you know, Whitewater Rapids, whatever, torrents of rain, but the worst logo of any sports team in Seattle. It looks like...
Oh, it's bad.
Some people are saying it looks like a toothpaste logo.
It's not great.
No, it's... I mean, this is worse than the Chicago Fire rebrand.
It's kind of AI, low energy. Yeah. But hey, whatever. Let's bring the sport. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's I'm just sad that... I mean, not that the Vancouver Golden Eyes is much better, but...
I mean, it can be. It all depends on which character you choose. If you got Oddjob...
I was really hoping for the Oddjob. We'll go for the same joke.
Yeah. Can I? I would rock the Oddjob 64 jersey.
Oh, that'd be incredible. Did you see that they ported that game to Xbox?
No. No.
Oh yeah, you can get it. It's tough. It's harder than I remember it being. They that's right, because you're a PlayStation guy, but they might have it on there too. But they ported it to modern systems
for those,
so you can actually go play it.
For those of us who are under the age of 35, there was a game in the late 90s called GoldenEye 64 for GameCube. Was it GameCube? Yeah, it was GameCube, wasn't it? No, N64. N64. Yeah. There we go. Anyways. All right. So I've got some scuttlebutt for us, some more scuttlebutt. One,
okay.
We got some year-end awards coming out.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about the Young Player of the Year going to Alex Freeman out of Orlando City, besting Obed Vargas?
I know nothing about
Alex,
that guy. So yeah,
he's playing on the in the back, left back, I believe, or sorry, right back. Getting some call ups for the national team. It's definitely exciting. The breakdown of the voting results: Alex Freeman on the players' vote got 23% of the players' vote. Obed got 21.4%. The media vote: Alex Freeman got 31. Obed got 21. And then the club's vote, that's where it really came down, where Alex Freeman got 36% and Obed got 16%, with Diego Luna finishing as a not really has joined the club here.
I mean, I probably would have put Diego Luna, but I also haven't watched a lot of his games. I just more his impact on the U.S. national team, which is not what this is for.
No, I think it really comes down to both Alex and Diego make more of an impact offensively. It's like, you know, the number six is not going to be an MVP type of deal. You know, it's just really hard. Now, with that said, let's go to the counterpoint. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, but Obed also was not very good. In fact, he was very poor at the beginning of the season. Like, it was surprising. I mean, leading into the Club World Cup, it felt like all the work that we were talking about, where he's going to shine and be sold during the Club World Cup, wasn't happening. He was just a dude. Now, second half of the season, he was phenomenal, but he didn't have a full season of great. I mean, it's the same reason why I think Pedro can't be in the top 11, because I think Pedro deserves it based on what he did on the field, but he wasn't on the field enough to do it.
I mean,
to have that award.
It's fair. And this isn't really a slam on Alex Freeman at all. You know, Alex Freeman's had a really good year. But I mean, and Obed's got the best 21 under 21 or 24 under 24, whatever the, you know, so he, you know, so it's kind of a split there. So the best 11 came out this week as well. And Christian Roldan was named to the MLS best 11.
Yeah.
joining. I mean, honestly, it's a pretty fair best 11. Dane St. Clair in the back with Tristan Blackman, Alex Freeman, Jacob Glensnes, and Kai Wagner, with Sebastian Burhalter, Evander, and Christian Roldan in the middle. I mean, that's just filthy. And Denis Bawanga, Anders Dreyer, and Lionel Messi up top. So I thought that was a pretty balanced best 11, and probably one of the first times in a long while where this best 11 could actually be a real formation. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah. And you know, all the players are deserving. Mm-hmm. I think I was surprised that Christian was on there just because he's never got the recognition he deserves.
And they usually don't go for realistic. So usually it'll be like, But
so I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't know if you saw his speech, but he gave credit to his teammates. And
of course he did.
And so did coach when he was talking about it. So
going into game three of the playoffs, we want to do a quick recap of where we stand going into game three for the league.
Yeah. And we will say, of course, we do have some scuttlebutt coming that is from the mailbag. We have several, four different folks, gave us stuff. So don't worry, keep listening. We'll get to the questions you sent us, yeah. So what's going on in the rest of the league?
Exactly. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. So, Philly wins in back-to-back games against Chicago. Number one Philly drops the number eight Chicago Fire. The Columbus-New York City, that series is tied 1-1 going into game three.
Which is...
In Columbus. Charlotte.
No,
Charlotte.
Cincinnati.
Not Charlotte. Charlotte, not New York. Not Columbus.
Yeah, Charlotte. It's in Charlotte versus New York City. Yep, that's in Charlotte at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Going over to the number two versus number seven, Cincinnati-Columbus, that one is tied 1-1. Hell is real.
Yep. And Columbus balled on them in that second game.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus is kind of, not equivalent, but kind of like the Sounders, where maybe they didn't have the best regular season, but is not really a team people want to face in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got Miami, the three seed Miami against Nashville. That one's tied 1-1. Big news out of that series is that Luis Suarez is suspended for off the play kickout.
Yeah, he unsurprisingly, purposefully kicked his foot behind him like a horse does. You know, that's what it looked like, where, you know, a horse will kick you with its foot.
Were you just focused on the teeth?
Yeah. he does love to bite like a horse as well. A horse once bit my sister at her birthday party.
I thought you were doing a Monty Python joke. I thought you were like, a moose once bit my sister. Okay.
But yeah, he clearly used it as an opportunity to kick back, and I think he should be banned for the rest of playoffs. I mean, if this were a first time offense, you get one game. This is not a first time offense. He should have been banned from the MLS for his transgressions in Leagues Cup, and he wasn't. So this, just, I mean, I know.
Well, it's fine because he's just going to be judged to he's going to be getting the Sean Avery, if we're going hockey relation, where it's just he's going to get judged harsher.
Yeah,
I just can't get worked up over him. I can't give the energy out at this point. Going over to the east of the west, we have San Diego Portland, which is now a 1-1 series after a wild finish in game two.
I mean, that's the thing about that day. It was the World Series Game 7 that went extra innings.
Oh my God, what a finish there.
Yeah, insane. And at the exact same time, you had Portland scoring the 98th minute to send it to penalties and win. And then, of course, Vancouver scoring the 93rd minute to send it to penalties and then win.
Did you see the interview with Kiki, the outfielder for the Dodgers, talking about when he was trying to make that basket catch and he got posterized by his own teammate.
No, I mean, it was on the TV, but I was in a bar. We watched it.
It was great because he's talking in this interview. He's like, I thought we lost. The crowd was quiet. Like, I thought we lost. You know, I thought I blew it. I got posterized. And yeah, it was just really, really interesting. What a crazy final four innings of that game.
Yeah.
So then, of course, going back to the Western Conference, you've got Minnesota-Seattle tied at one. You've got LAFC advancing over Austin in two games. You got Dallas losing to Vancouver in two games. So going into the next round, the conference semifinals, Vancouver and LAFC are guaranteed to play each other. And then you've got the winner of San Diego-Portland playing the winner of Minnesota-Seattle. My question to you is this. Do you think this is the right way to do playoffs where you, once the bracket is set, it's set? Or do you think you should reseed after each round?
Oh, I hate reseeding. I think if you're that lower seed and you earn that, or I guess high, I'll say, I don't know how to refer to it lower. Like if an 8 seed beats a there one you go, seed, yeah. You should be in that 1 seed spot.
Yeah.
Like I think you've earned that. I don't like reseeding because then you're making it just impossible for the
8 seed, you
know, the 8 seed to keep advancing. And it's like, no, if you get hot, this is your chance to go.
I think I agree with that. Of course, it does mean that if the Sounders advance, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. San Diego, Portland, Vancouver, LAFC, it's the playoffs. All four of them, there are challenges no matter who we play.
Sure, but I will say this. It goes to a one-game series mm-hmm, after this, mm-hmm. and we would host Portland.
This is true.
So now I don't feel bad about the fact that I was rooting for Portland in game one, and I was happy that Portland won game two.
Yeah.
So if Portland wins, and then of course we win, we would host Portland next round.
In a one-game series, I don't think that I fear any team in this playoffs.
I agree.
It's just no matter who we play, it's going to be stressful. That's just the nature of one-game playoffs.
I just think we saw in this most recent Sounders game what home field advantage means, which is something we haven't had until this year. Maybe last year a little bit, but we had lost that home field advantage. We had lost that early Sounders,
yeah.
Just extra bump that you got. And this year we've just been so solid and at home. And I mean, to me, it's night and day what the team is like on the road and at home.
Well, the other side of that is the club, both in Alliance Council meetings that we've had and in public interviews, have stated over the last few years that they really had as a big part of the sporting side, a strong desire to make Lumen a fortress again. And they really were really trying to make that happen. And I mean, Minnesota is the only team to have beaten, the only North American team to have beaten the Sounders this season in Lumen. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know otherwise, what about Charlotte? No, it just felt like a loss.
Yeah.
We had a few that felt like losses. They weren't actual losses.
Yeah, definitely. So that's kind of where we're at with the bracket. We have some coaching news as well. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's been some.
I did see that the youth USA coach got hired somewhere.
Yeah, in New England.
Okay.
Yeah. So in New England there. So you're definitely starting to see some. You're starting to get some news. It looks like LAFC has all but, you know, unofficially named former Vancouver head coach. Oh my God, what is his name? He's their assistant coach right now. Is going to take over at the end of this season.
I don't know. I was hoping it was the guy that was their coach 2 years ago that they for some reason fired when he was awesome.
No, my brain's not there right now, but anyway,
he's their current assistant coach.
Yeah.
While yeah, I type I this as everyone can hear, I will say, did you see that because they got second in the Canadian Cup, Vancouver FC has qualified for Champions Cup?
Yay. Yay. I like that.
I know. It's so fun to see a lower league team make it. I want to see like USL. That's the only thing for me about the US Open Cup not having full MLS participation is if we could find a way to get some more USL teams to win it so they could.
I would love to see a Sacramento Republic qualify.
Ricardo Clark?
No.
Mark Dos Santos?
There we go, Mark Dos Santos.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, DeAndre Yedlin signs a contract extension with RSL. I don't think I saw that coming.
Definitely not.
But, I mean, it makes sense. That's the kind of team where he can stay in a starting role and be in and extend that career a little bit more. So I get it. I get it.
And they probably are willing to pay him.
Yeah,
right?
I just hate.
What? Did they say what it was?
No, just a contract extension through 2027 with an option for 2028.
Okay.
So good for him. I want an MLS with DeAndre Yedlin in the league. So that part I'm happy for. I just don't particularly want to see him playing for Salt Lake.
Yeah, we've known several people that have worked at the highest levels of that organization who don't always say the best things about this organization. So, yeah.
But
apparently the owner is a huge coin collector guy. And so he runs in some similar circles to some of my friends, which is very weird.
Oh yeah. We won't want to shout him out publicly. I mean, we were talking about that last week, but yeah.
No,
you know who you are.
Also, shout out to everyone who did vote. This was election week for a lot of places, except for Kentucky, when everyone kept showing up at the polls to vote, only to discover that they didn't have an election in Kentucky this year. It's next year. So they don't have an every year election like we do.
Well, yeah, they take 1 year out of every four off as kind of calm it down. But yeah. So want to start talking about the game and then hit the mailbag for the second half?
Sure, that sounds good.
Want to go to break for right now?
Yeah, let's take a break, listen to our little Patreon ad here, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And we're back. That's right. Listen to me. Join our Patreon. And also join our Discord.
Yeah, we are very good in Discord about giving you some benefits, keeping you up in the loop, reminding you about, you know, signing up for World Cup tickets, letting you know when there are great deals for jerseys for $20. All sorts of fun stuff. Just looking out for each other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a World Cup question that will be best answered by you later, coming out of the mailbag. But the Sounders came away victorious 4-2 this past Monday night. And I know it was for TV purposes, but they could have played that game Saturday. They could have played that game Sunday. It would have been just fine. And it would have been, I mean, it worked out in our favor anyways, but MLS or probably Apple TV demanded that we play it Monday. So on a cold Monday night with a 7:55 PM kickoff, game that went to 10.
What are you thinking? Anyways.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But I will say, crowd was very good. I did not expect people to show up. I did not expect those people that did show up to be so vociferous and excited. But I think the team showed up as well, and that brought the crowd into it immediately.
I mean, yeah, it helps when you get up 1-0 in the 7th minute, so that mm-hmm. certainly helps.
Yes, absolutely. But they were challenging for goals right away.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Let's start talking about the game. So first off, lineup comes out, and we see Jordan Morris and Danny Musovski in the lineup at the same time. What are your thoughts on that? Going into the game.
Yeah. They did it at the end of the last game, and I wasn't surprised. And the way they had done it was very interesting, because I noticed when Jordan came on, he and Danny had a conversation where Jordan basically was like, I'm going to be on the right. So it was almost like they had two forwards, but they weren't like both centered. It was one in the center and one on the right.
Yeah.
And they were and that was actually what we saw in this match too, where you had sometimes we had three forwards, sometimes we had two forwards, sometimes we had one forward. But it gives you that flexibility for both wings to come up and be forwards. I was surprised that
It was almost a 4-3-3 in some ways, just because both Morris, Jesus Ferreira, and Danny Musovski have all spent considerable amount of time up top in their career.
Yeah, but what surprised me was Morris on the right, number one, because usually we see him on the left. Not always, usually. And Ferreira on the left, because this year, when he hasn't been at center attacking mid, we've mainly seen him on the right. And so they took it and flipped it on his head. There's something about the way that Jordan and Moose interact with each other when Jordan is on the right that is paying dividends. And they must be seeing that in practice, because at the end of that last game, we saw it happen, and while we didn't score, we were dangerous. And then this game, obviously, we were very dangerous going up 3-0 in the first 45 minutes.
Well, I think there's something about that, because it seems like even going back to the first game where Danny has a couple of really good chances, including that beautiful header attempt that really well played, Jordan, the way he attacks with that pace, oftentimes draws people. And Danny, you just know he's in those great Wondolowski positions all season long. We've been talking about that. And if Jordan's, you know, fine with making those selfish, unselfish passes, that certainly unlocks a lot of opportunity there.
I think we saw some of the limitations of Jordan, though, having not played out on the wings very much this season, though, where he would try to do what Georgie does a lot, dribble up and then cross it, and he just didn't have the feet work.
We'll talk about that a little bit as well, especially when things go a little bit wrong at the end of the first half. Spoiler alert.
And he was in the middle for one of those.
So going in in the 8th minute, you know, we got a corner kick coming. Rusnak puts the ball in. gets cycled to the top of the box where Obed is typically handling out or hanging out, and he just puts a shot, you know, just a quick shot from the top of the box, just putting it on frame, hoping for the best. Just a stop it, one touch, go. Cracks me up that Dane St. Clair is immediately trying to signal for an offside when it's not even close. It's not, the VAR didn't even go to review it. It just wasn't close.
Yeah, I think what it was oh wait, I'm thinking of, was it that goal or the second one?
It was the first one.
The first one where there was, the forward was up. Yeah. And so he was blocking the vision of the goalie.
But he was onside, so he was onside.
But yeah, but you could make the argument that if he weren't, even though he wasn't part of a play, that he was affecting the play, which we know he wasn't, but the MLS has called that against the Sounders many times.
Oh, 100%. Now, if number 13 wasn't, and it was a little close, but yeah. But he's desperately trying to run back. Markinich is desperately trying to run back to the top of the box. So good effort, but his time was just off. You know, it just wasn't there. It's just fun to watch Dane St. Clair bitch. really fun.
I mean, it's fun to watch the goalie of the year give up four goals.
Yeah, where's the tongue wagging? You know, did he need to tell the ref where to place the ball after that goal? I'll give you a spoil sport. It's at the top of the circle.
He is a chump, and more importantly, the fact that he won goalie of the year despite not being the best goalie, just having the best defense. How many times has Steph not won it because they were like, oh, he had the best defense, so he didn't deserve it?
Yeah. I'm not even going to get myself worked up over it because, you know. Whatever. But speaking of Steph, a few moments later, right off of kind of a cross into the box, really quick little touch, makes a really good reaction save from the outside of the six. So, you know, he's still got it. 20th minute, Sounders are trying to get the ball in. Christian's coming out to the edge, crosses the ball to Jesus Ferreira. Now, I want to give Jesus a lot of props here.
Yeah.
He does a diving header. His diving header comes across over. It looks like
he's probably going to go in, even if Jordan isn't there, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's putting that header trying to go far post.
Yeah.
But he also, it seems to me that he also very much sees in the play that he knows Morris is over there. And yeah, it's just really well done. Really well done. Big, big props to Jesus Ferreira. Very heads up play. I was very pleased with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a quick deflection off of Jordan that he actually, James, and it wasn't his fault because he was told, you know, James Wolver,
his spotter,
has a spotter that tells him who to announce, but they announced it being Jesus's goal.
Yeah.
And then they have to correct it. But, and there's no one better. I mean, than James at that. He gives credit to a lot of other PA announcers, but God, we are so lucky to have James.
You know what's really fun about this, though? Once again, Dane St. Clair is bitching because he thinks Jordan's offsides, and he kind of forgets his own defender is on the touchline on his ass.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh. What a little whiny little bitch. His second goalie of the year, second goal that went right off his hands and into the net. Wow. Good job, goalie of the year.
Yeah.
But what I really, really, really want to point out, not just Jesus's great setup, was Christian jumping and just being manhandling his guy on the outside of the box to make that whole thing happen. Yep. He just won the duel. It wasn't even close. And yeah, just bang, bang, bang. We talked about this last week. The Sounders have been so good this year when they're not necessarily trying to hold on to possession, but just doing that transition goal. They've been doing that really well. This is another one of those examples of that transition goal just happening.
Yeah. And working in our favor.
Yeah. And so we're not done yet. It's still the first half. We're the 41st minute. Once again, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. Christian being the first one to the ball at the outside of the box. Jordan plays him in. He passes it to the top of the box where top of the six where Jesus is. Once again, Jesus puts it same spot, puts it into that back, you know, goes towards that back side of the goal. And Danny Musovski's there. Just beautiful, beautiful setup where Jesus doesn't need to get big touches on it. He just knows, I know I've got someone going to that back post, and I know Minnesota's not defending it. So just really great first half from Jesus Ferreira. Two assists, a lot of good effort there.
And then it kind of falls apart.
It does.
Some bad giveaways in transition.
Now, I do want to point something out. So we got 8 minutes of stoppage time. Jordan gets the ball. He gets played. Obed plays it to his feet instead of leading him. Jordan has to pull up his run. Minnesota just kind of takes it from him. This is 5 yards from the touch from the halfway point. 5 yards from midfield. Ball gets lost. Jordan, if you watch that play, a lot of people want to go, oh, Jordan, turnover, turnover, turnover.
He tracked back.
Exactly. His track back. Jordan was the least of the problems on this play.
It was something that we've seen a lot. And you know, not a good giveaway, but there's still five players behind the ball, right? Like, there's five players who could have stepped up and stopped one of the two players that were on a run.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we're up 3-0. We're in stoppage time. The moment that Jordan loses the ball, so if Obed leads him, we are on a break. We've got numbers. We are on a break. If he plays the ball into space, it might be 4-0. I mean, everyone is going, including, unfortunately, by the time it gets taken, Obed and Nuhu are getting passed by the ball as the ball going in the other direction.
Yeah.
So it's now basically a 4v3 the other way with Jordan trying to get back into there. It's just a tough.
I mean, there was only two people involved in that, and ultimately in that. I mean, in that play where it was a beautiful pass.
Yeah.
But to me, the problem is we've seen the Sounders fall prey to this before, where you give it away in the middle of the field, and then there's just no way to, for whatever reason, we cannot stop a team that's speedily transitioning back. Early in the season, it was a big problem. And in last year, it was a big problem. We haven't seen it a lot this season, but it's just something that we see from our defenders at times. And to me, it's more emblematic of, Yamar's lost a step. That's just a fact. So they've got to play defense a little differently.
See, that one in and of itself, that one, I'm not even angry about that one. That's just a bad pass, and Minnesota does it really well.
Again, a couple minutes later is what.
Well, that's what I mean. That first one, I'm not angry about it. Minnesota does a really good job 4v3 and sets it up really good. This next one, I am a little frustrated about. Because we're at the point where basically Minnesota is trying to put numbers forward, and Alex intercepts it, passes it to wide open Yamar. Yamar, when he fields the ball, has no one within 10 yards of him. And he's Minnesota's not even pressuring at that point. So he's holding on to it for a good, you know, 6, 7, 8 seconds, and then he loses it at midfield. And they're just going the other way. So, I mean, really, you got to recognize the game state at that moment. You just got to recognize, hey, this is not the time to screw around. Let's get into the halftime, 3-1. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Lode gets the nice finish. It's 3-2. You're thinking, oh, God, is this going to be yet another game where we blow a 3-goal lead at home? But moments later, Obed hits post with authority. Obed is on a heater. Obed is just having himself a game. You know, he's feeling it. He's feeling the swag. It felt really good. Even to miss that felt really good going into the halftime, going right back into it. That ball pops out the right way. Danny Musovski's all alone with no one around him to just tap it in. It made me not worried. If you listen to Brian Schmetzer's interview with MLS on Apple at halftime, he wasn't worried. I made mention of it in the Discord. I was expecting him to be a little bit more angry in the interview and annoyed, but I think he kind of recognized that, hey, this is something that's not replicable. Mm. We're not going to keep making those mistakes. But everything that we've seen up to and even after that point, you know, was falling into what I thought the Sounders game plan was.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I think we saw the Sounders come out and do what they needed to do. And it's what we've been expecting them to do all along. And we actually saw them pull some stuff in from the games at the end of the season that Minnesota was losing, playing more over the top instead of through the wings at times. And it was working. And yeah. So I think they have Minnesota's number now. It'd just be a question, can Minnesota counter in a way? It's going to be a game of chess. If Minnesota's coach can come up with a game plan that can stop the changes the Sounders made, which obviously the Sounders have to make some more, but they have found a little something that seems to be working against this Minnesota team, finally.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Ramsey is definitely exciting coach to see for sure. But Eric Ramsey's this young, hot, upcoming coach. He's going against Brian Schmetzer. This is Brian Schmetzer's 18th knockout win or go home game in his career with the Sounders. He is 12-5 going into this game in the 17 games going into this. 12-5 in a lose and you're out situation.
Sure. I also think we're so far into the playoff. Like we've played, they were talking about it before the game where I think Fry has the most active games of any player in the MLS in terms of playoff appearances. I think Christian's second, yep. And Jordan has the most goals of any active player. I mean, we're talking, they've played a full season's worth of games in the playoffs. Yeah. So, I still question, can and will we show up in a big game? We've seen it. We have seen them, of course, show up, but we're not in a big game yet. I mean, this of the caliber of a championship game.
I mean, you want to hear something crazy, though. This was Alex Roldan, I believe, his 253rd appearance for the Sounders, all comps. Just insane how quick these games are adding up. Like, some of these players... You know, it was a big deal back in the earlier days when, Ozzie hit 200 games.
Yeah.
And we've got like five players that have all played over 200 games for the club. It's just this team has been together for so long. It's so impressive.
Yeah.
So going into the second half, unfortunately, Alex goes off with groin tightness.
I didn't know what had happened. It was groin tightness? Okay.
Yeah. Groin tightness with Kalani Kosa-Rienzi coming on.
I think KKR played great. I mean, you saw him and Fry play in a way that you don't see him and Alex play, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean,
it worked.
It was a good half from KKR for sure. Game gets a little interesting. When we bring on Paul Rothrock and Danny Leyva. How do you feel about Rothrock coming on as a 65th minute sub and just running at tired legs?
I mean, It obviously works. He can put all his effort into a short time. I love it. I wasn't sure about the Leyva sub, but it worked out. They did seem, I don't know if those are the subs I would have made, but you know what? I'm not the coach and it worked. We scored another goal and we won. So, yeah.
I mean, they may not be the subs you made, but here we are in the 84th minute where Danny Leyva beats his man. Plays a beautiful lead pass into Paul Rothrock, who just shoulders to shoulders Harvey and makes him look silly, giving a ball to Obed at the top of the box. Obed puts it in.
Ricocheted off the defender, but
frankly, that happens a lot with Obed. He puts he takes those shots from the top of the box. He loves putting it on frame. And I would say that this season, I feel like anecdotally, he's got that's his fourth, fifth goal this season. Yeah. I feel like four of the five goals have gone off of someone. But that's what happens. You put it on frame.
Yep. And that puts the game away. Sounders win 4-2, and we live to play another day, which we will talk about. But we better keep moving along because
we've got five minutes left until. But real quick, our score prediction challenge.
This was
a unique game because not a lot of people are going to be choosing Obed Vargas as the first goal scorer.
No, I picked the second.
Not a lot of people were probably taking that over, but we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people with 2 points. Not a lot. So a lot of us, including not one, not two, but all three hosts.
Yep.
You, me, and Aaron all had 2 points. But let's go Dan the Bastard.
Yeah.
Dan the Bastard. Eric 13. Who else? We had Bryson.
Nice.
Julie Z, who's been coming on strong this second half. Julie's been doing pretty damn good. And then Silotum. Maybe related to Dan the Bastard. I'm not positive. I have to double check on that.
I do not know.
Well, they put Dan the Bastard in their answer there. So,
maybe it's one of his childs.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Silotum, that's Paul.
Oh, nice.
My bad. For some reason, Paul was at
the match.
It didn't refresh. So I'm like, wait, that's not right. Because he won a few weeks ago as well. So, good times. Why don't we talk about the next game next Saturday at 1 o'clock? Is it 4 o'clock Central Eastern? Yeah.
1 p.m. Seattle time.
1 o'clock.
Seems like a dumb time, but it is what it is. It's going to be, I think it'll depend on the chess match and which coach comes up with the better game plan and then can adjust in match, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
we got a lot of mailbag, so
let's hit that up. Let's finish we'll put predictions at the very end. Okay, right now? Let's do it now. Yeah.
Okay. Who's winning?
I'm taking the Sounders in a do or die game 3, especially after the confidence here, especially if we go up a goal, because I think Minnesota's just expecting another heartbreak from Seattle.
Yeah, I would say I originally picked whomever wins game one. I mean, whoever scores first and also who wins game one is going to win the series. So I got to pick Minnesota. I think they're going to win in penalties.
I don't know, because Sounders scored first and no one won game one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they count as a scoring when it's a penalty.
I'm not counting it. All right.
So we have...
Let's go to that mailbag.
Tim Hamilton asks, how do you bring a sign or poster into the stadium? I mean, I think the easiest thing is to get it to a supporter group. I don't know the actual rules. Some people can do it every single match, and then other times security just decides to not let you do it. So as Tim knows.
Yep. Yep. So,
I mean, I would say call your ticket rep. Get that, call someone at the club. Get that okay in advance.
Yeah, I think it's also going to depend on how big the sign is.
Oh, sure. But I mean, I know that what he was denied for was a small sign that he would bring in any other game. So it was, they just decided not to let him have it in this last game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say you know, you got those contacts, but if all else fails, call your ticket rep, start there. Of course,
when you get denied at one, go to a different entrance.
Yeah. We may not have another home game. Eric 13 asks, regarding World Cup tickets for here in Seattle, out of all the possible opponents, how much would cause how many would cause FIFA to increase the price of the USA game here?
All of them.
I mean, yeah, I don't think when tickets are already on sale, we don't know who they're going to play, and you're going to buy them before you know who the US is playing. Yes. So once it's announced, it's going to go up.
Yeah. The draw will be in early December. Then the final.
If it's Haiti, maybe, or Cape Verde, maybe it doesn't go up. But
no, they're not going down.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect them to go down.
Other games, other group stage games, I do expect them to go down.
Sure,
but not the U.S. And keep in mind, the U.S. game in Seattle is like 30% cheaper than the U.S. game in L.A. and
the New York one's ridiculous. One? New York,
yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Shout out to Rowdy Rousey, who asked, could you talk more about the Sounders looking for investors? How do you feel about a stadium specifically in Renton? Could it also be to prepare for an increase in salary cap? So on and so forth. Of course, it was announced this, and there's another great question after that that we should talk about, but because I know the answer. But it was announced that the Sounders are actively seeking an investor or investors, plural, potentially, and they've hired a firm to help do that. The same firm that sold Vancouver Whitecaps and did something with one of the LA teams. I can't remember which one. I mean, we don't know that it's for the stadium, but I would assume it's for some sort of stadium. I know talking to folks I know who are internal Seahawks employees, there's already chatter over there about the Sounders leaving eventually. When that would be, I have no idea. We don't have any inside information. We only know what's public. But I can say that I think a move to Renton would be
catastrophic.
I think you, it depends on what they want. Do they want a fan base or do they want to make money?
But I think if one doesn't necessarily preclude the other, but one could absolutely torpedo the other.
Well, I think, yeah, fan base makes you money, but if you're just going for the money, you're going to lose so many people if you move down there. There's not mass transit to get there. There's the infrastructure is not built yet.
Adrian, if you want the money, sell the team. With that valuation, there's plenty of money, more money than you could ever make. If you want the money, sell the team.
I also think that I understand why they would want to sell the team. You get no money from parking. You get no money from concessions.
You mean build a stadium?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, you said sell the team. So
yeah, I know.
They would want to build the stadium. You get no money. The Sounders get no money from parking, no money from concessions, no money from events inside the stadium. There's no grass. Got to have turf.
They have a bit of a raw deal. Absolutely.
Yep.
I will point out that I do largely believe that both things can be true, that both Adrian would, in a perfect world, want his own stadium, but he also understands that if you're not publicly talking about these things, you lose your negotiating position.
True.
Think about the last time the Sounders lease was up and was in negotiations, and they were trying to talk about, the turf schedule was supposed to be replaced on this level and it was never being done. And they were talking about
exploring. I don't
know
the date that it's up, but it's soon. I think it's within a year, I think. But I do know that the Seahawks have made, fourth and goal has made a bunch of improvements to work with the Sounders already and are planning to put more in. So even if they build a stadium, it's not happening for next season. This isn't a next season thing. This is a long-term. Can I say something that maybe people will find controversial? I think soccer-specific stadiums are fucking stupid. I think they're for small clubs that have no ambition and just want to make more money by having less seats. You're going to outgrow that stadium, then you have to build another fucking stadium, and then it's going to cost the taxpayers more money.
So one of the things I guess I'll say first off is the Sounders lease is set to expire around 2032.
Okay. So that means they did one renewal within the last few years.
Potentially, because
it was supposed to be up in the 2020s at some point.
Yeah, it was supposed to be up in 2028, but that was a few years ago. Right. But then they probably ran an extension because the Seahawks lease runs out in 2032 as well. And they probably recognized that value of having them both running out at the same time would give maximum leverage.
Sure. Maybe the Seahawks can move.
Well, that's what I think is the more likely scenario, is the Seahawks go to suburbia. Every team that leaves the downtown core to go to suburbia, it's always a shit show.
Yep. And always but I will say for the Seahawks, most people are coming from suburbia.
Yes, but impact
the
isn't
Seahawks game is Red State
football.
America. It is not a Seahawks. I mean, it's not a Seattle crowd. Yeah. I think we see a Seattle crowd. Not, you know, everyone's not from Seattle, but we see a largely Seattle crowd at Seattle games. Would be my compared to other teams. Would be my guess. Not large. I wouldn't say it's like the majority, but compared to other teams.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I guess I would want to say. This is not the first time that these things have come up into conversation. And it feels to me like, I think the last time, let's see, the Sounders signed a 10-year extension of their lease in 2015, but also around that time is when we were really talking about what happens. Can we do a feasibility for, you know, because they did a stadium feasibility in 2014, 1 year before they signed the 10-year extension. So this is part of the playbook. Absolutely. And why wouldn't you? You want to maximize your negotiating right. power. So
here's what I'll say real quick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of land available right now. I mean, it's not for sale.
Northgate?
But I'm talking about the land that Chris Hansen bought to build
yep.
Sonics Arena.
Yeah,
it's ready to go. You could fit a large soccer specific stadium there.
It's true. I mean, that's like just Long Acres is not where it's at. Period.
Yeah, I mean,
exclamation point.
If there was light rail that went to it, I think you could make an argument. For me, driving, it makes very little difference. It is equidistant for me, but I'm not the person that'll be affected by it. Then, anyone who lives north of downtown, it makes the commute to the game, especially on a weeknight, over
impossible.
An hour. Like, think about how hard it is for us to get to Auburn to go to White River Amphitheater.
Yeah.
You have to cut through downtown Auburn in rush hour traffic. It can take, that's why you and I, when we've gone to concerts, leave at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you leave later, you're going to get caught in that traffic. Then it takes a
8:30.
Yeah. It takes a 45 minute drive and makes it a 3 hour drive.
But I mean, anyone who doesn't think that stadium location matters, I would just say go to a Sounders game. If you live north, park at Northgate, park at Linwood, take light rail down and see what happens. See what happens with the transit. Look at Husky Stadium right on the light rail. Look at games and events at T-Mobile Park, at Lumen. Look at the weekend a couple weeks ago when the Mariners were in the playoffs. Sounders were playing Portland. You know, all that going on, over 100,000 people in 2 days in that area, and people were getting around because of public transit.
Yep. Yep. And my dad takes it to every game. I mean, to Husky games because they park at Husky Stadium.
Yeah.
But outside of Husky games, anytime he has to come downtown, they park at Husky Stadium, my parents, and take it down. They're in their 80s. Well, my mom's in her 70s, but regardless, they are elderly, and that's how they get to games. It's so convenient. That's how I get to every game but Sounders, because I have to park to put up banner. But
now the second part of Rowdy Rousey's question, estimates of the stadium and capacity. I mean, if you're doing a soccer specific stadium, they're probably going to be looking at between 20,000 to 30,000.
I would hope they would go a little bigger, but I think you're right.
You would hope so, but the reality is they're going to go lower because they're going to maximize the ticket revenue by pricing it higher.
Season ticket.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to be the,
I mean,
they're going to rip the Band-Aid.
Maybe they would get some from Tacoma. I don't know. Maybe they would get some more South End support, but I think the negative, what's the opposite of goodwill? Bad will? I don't think that's the word I'm looking for. That it creates would make people not buy in.
Look at the scrambling and adjusting that the Kraken are trying to do here now that the third year is up and people who can get out of their 3-year lease on season tickets are doing so in droves and all the
I'll be
impact.
Honest. The only reason I still have season ticket to the Kraken is last year I was able to break even selling them or only lose a little bit. And I get presale for concerts.
Yeah.
Literally the only reason is because I got to see, I can go see any band I want to see that plays there if I can afford it, unlike rush tickets that were $330 each.
Yikes.
But yeah, I mean, that's exactly. So I would expect 25. That would be my
So the other question there that I can speak to as well is, why are flares banned at Lumen, and would that change if we had a new stadium?
I have a lot of information on that.
Yeah, part of it is going to be, what is this, the fire marshal going to say? There are rules about how it's handled, how it's done, etc. They were briefly allowed at Starfire when S2 first started for a few games, but then they kind of rescinded that.
I'm going to say, more importantly, it is considered a bomb by the ATF, because it has to be stored in a bomb safe. And so the club has to store it. That's a new rule that's happened in the last 3 years. And so the federal government has essentially banned them. And if you have them, you can be charged by the ATF if you're not properly storing them. So the club can hold up a flare in the stadium.
Yeah. The other side of that is the nature of cooperation with supporter culture and it's not a dig. It's more if a supporters group was going to handle these rules and do it the right way, yep, we'd allow it. It would potentially happen.
It would 100% happen. I've already gotten the okay to have it for Gorilla FC if I want to do it. The only reason I haven't is because there's people in the front row who are allergic to the smoke and it bothers them.
But the other side of it is, if the conditions are that it's completely controlled by the club and done by the club,
it's not. The club has to hold it, and the club has to drop it into a bucket when it's done.
Yep.
But they do it at the direction of the supporter group.
Yes. No, I get that. But yeah. I think I think it's a little complicated. Like you mentioned, it is a little complicated. It's definitely something I'm okay with not having. But it does.
It's not going to happen. I mean, the fire codes alone make it rough. Also, yeah. For a long time they made it so banners had to be pre-treated just because flares were allowed, and they no longer require pre-treated banners, because that makes the cost of making TIFOs and banners significantly higher when you have to pre-treat them for fire.
I will also say, though, one thing that I hope just doesn't catch on is, during League's Cup, after we started scoring some of those goals late, there was a lot of liquids being thrown up into the air. A championship game, a crazy moment like that, I get it. I never want to see that for a random goal against San Jose in the regular season.
No, it's got to be something special.
So yeah, just putting it out there.
So we have one more, and that was what's next year's lineup going to be? But I think it's specifically more, is Andy Thomas going to be starting next year? And shout out to Yaya for putting this one in.
I mean, never mind, my bad. All kidding aside, I think it really is going to come down to, I think officially, if Stefan Fry comes back, it will be under the guise and the promise of a true goalkeeper competition in training camp.
Yeah.
I do think that whoever wins that competition, the Sounders will do what they've always done and give the equivalent of League's Cup. There probably won't be a League's Cup next year because of the World Cup. Or Open Cup or whatever, they give one of those tournaments to the backup keeper.
Yep.
And
not necessarily, I mean, this is the first year I think we've seen a whole tournament go to the backup keeper.
It's been stated that, but we've just never had to put it to a test because we've never gotten to like the final four games.
We've had plenty of time though in the US Open Cup where we have our backup keeper in until the final two games.
Well, that's what I mean. But what I'm saying is, the difference is in the last maybe four or five, like in the Stephen Cleveland era, the Tyler Miller era of backup keepers, Brian has said this is their tournament, but we've never.
Oh, interesting. This is the first time I've ever heard him say that personally.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. But he has said that in the past, but it never really been put to the test that late in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, it's Andy Thomas's job to lose for next year.
I think that's fair. By the way, did you see him warming up at the end of the game?
No, I saw him warming up at the beginning. Was he, because he didn't play, he was having to go out and run?
No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Warming up before we brought on Osaze de Rosario when it was still a one-goal game.
Oh.
He was warming up on the sidelines.
I love
so,
it. So you know that's what I want. You know that I know. Put in. I mean, keepers, and this is not a hit on Fry, keepers have good qualities and bad qualities. It's like when you're training people on FIFA and you want to train up diving versus whatever, you know. I do think Andy is better at penalties.
But the question is, now here's where it gets complicated. Yes. In a nutshell, if both goalies are coming in cold, doing a game, penalties, I'm taking Andy Thomas over Stephen Fry every time. But where it gets complicated is, well, does a keeper who's been on the bench the entire time have that same advantage over someone who's been in the game the entire time? Does
look at Danny Leyva and
Julian Gressel hit post and he came on. His first touch of the game was the penalty kick.
I was going to call him Malfoy. Malfoy.
But then there's the other side. I mean, I keep thinking about something Andy Thomas told us in the Alliance Council meeting last year when we met with him, about this whole thing. He's like, well, there's the counterpoint, which is the coach that does that is, you know, definitely putting a big target on their back, because if you go in and you don't perform, there's going to be some serious second guessing. Because it's such a unheard of technique that I can only think of a handful
Chelsea
of times.
In the Champions League.
Only a handful of times does it happen. But then again, you know, we'll see. I'm not opposed to it. I'm definitely not opposed to having Thomas warm up and running on the sidelines just to keep the possibility open.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So. I think we covered the mailbag, which means that you can probably go to work.
I can.
Shout out to Aaron, who couldn't be here because it is mom's birthday today.
Indeed. Happy birthday, Aaron's mom.
Happy birthday, Aaron's mom.
Hey, you know what? Where can they find you?
Legal Minded Punk everywhere but Twitter.
Did we make our predictions for game 3?
Yeah.
We did. We did.
We picked the Sounders. I picked Minnesota and penalties.
That's right. Does that change if Andy Thomas goes in for Stephen Fry and penalties?
Then I'm picking Seattle.
And just to start it off right, just first penalty taker.
Yeah.
Andy Thomas. Against, and just tongue out, you know, and Andy Thomas pointing to the team, I got this, and then looking over at Dane St. Clair and going, hey, I'll tell you what, you put the ball down. You tell me where you want the ball. Bitch.
Punk.
Andy...
I love Andy Thomas.
That was what I'm hearing him tell his story about, you know, what was his best, his moment where he got under the skin of another opponent. And he was talking about his time at Stanford and a college game that got a little bit out of hand. Just what a character.
Yeah. He's a great
What a character. I mean, I love this team. This team has so many wonderful, likable people. Last month we had Paul Rothrock spend a good couple hours with us in the Alliance Council and just chat.
Couldn't be there because I teach on Tuesday nights now, so
and it's just very, very wonderful to see the team represented by people who clearly love the city, the culture, and to not feel like it's just an obligation. Just really, really wonderful.
That's the other thing about moving a team. I'm a Seattle kid. I'm not a suburban kid. I've lived in Seattle all my life, but 5 years. And those were the 5 years I moved away from college. I've never lived in the suburbs. I think all of our teams should play in the city limits. We are the Seattle Sounders.
You think,
not,
you think,
the S-curve sounders.
You think Brian Schmetzer's got opinions on this one?
I think very much so. Nathan Hale kid.
I mean, this is honestly, I do genuinely believe that more than anything, it's a negotiating tactic. Yeah, they're potentially exploring it. Would they be open to it if it was in Seattle in that downtown core? I think that changes the dynamic.
And maybe there's an amazing investor out there that wants to make something amazing happen. And you can't say no. So they would be stupid not to look into this.
Yeah. And unfortunately, venture capital is kind of the way a lot of things are going and trending. But as long as Adrian maintains his, you know, his majority stake.
Yeah.
then I think that keeps things good. Now, the other thing you got to keep in mind is that these percentages, these sell-offs would be dipped from the existing owner's shares. This is completely separate from the 25% that's owned by Jody Allen.
Potentially. I mean, it could be part of a deal. You know, it depends on what an investor wants to do.
Well, no, it depends on what Jody Allen wants to do.
Well, sure. But
she's
an investor could make an offer, I'm sure, to entice her.
100%.
Considering she has just sold the Trailblazers.
Yes. Yes. Anyways, on that note, do you ever get your Twitter account back?
Nope. It's gone. I'm not expecting it back ever.
It's probably a good break.
A punk.
No, just a small penis compensation vehicle. Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't, but I think you're talking about a swastika.
So check out the song "Small Penis Compensation Vehicle" by the Born Again Floozies.
That's a funny name.
It's very gypsy cabaret punk. Tubas, and yeah, it's a fun one. It's very coded to 2010.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, you can find me at Cascades to See on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. Just so you know, in the future, when this season is over, hopefully in another month or so, we will have our end of season wrap up. We will go over our beginning of the season predictions, see how we did. We will do the running score for the prediction challenge, how we've done. We will give away some prizes. We will have a lot of fun. So keep listening. Keep supporting us. Your support means a lot to us. We do appreciate it. I personally love seeing you all on game day. Love the random inside joke text messages that people send each other, and just the community of watching some of our listeners bring their kids and our kids meeting, and just the community. It's all about community. So absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.